Praise the Lord. That's hard to follow. Big Dave, heard a lot of people mention prepared. You know the Word of God say that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. David knew something about being prepared, and God used him mightily. Dave, I'm going to give you a scripture, a real short one. One day, one thing Dave always said to me after I preached, said, "Pastor, I don't remember you giving that sermon a title." I say, "I don't even know what the titles are till after I get finished sometimes." But he always asked me about what was the name of that sermon, what was the title of that sermon. The title of this one, and I'm gonna record it. It's gonna be online on our website. It's gonna be Big Dave's Eulogy. Ecclesiastes 9 and 5 has a very profound verse of scripture. It says, "For the living know that they shall die. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know nothing, not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." I just want to look at the first part of it. The living know that they shall die. How many know Viola Mossy Brown? She's the oldest living person in the world. She's 117 years old. But one thing Miss Brown knows, that the living shall die. I said this to my wife and some of you other folks in here, and was talking about the weather and the mud and the elements and all that. You're in a wonderful place. There's no other place in the world that you should want to be than in the house of God on the day of a saint's funeral. Let me say that again. On the day of a man prepared to die funeral. I have a great responsibility. Word of God says, and I like to use scripture to support what I say, because I don't want you to think I'm making stuff up. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Death is rude. Death is rude. Death is intrusive. Death is disturbing. Death is distracting. Many of you have other things planned for this week. Okay? Some of you had to use a vacation day to get here. Some of you had to lose money to get here because you didn't have no vacation time. But consider it money well spent. Because, see, death reminds us that we all shall die. Okay? And there's some smart folks in here. Tony. There's some wise folks in here. Okay? There's some not so wise folks in here. But you know what the Word of God says? There is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool. Okay? "Seeing that which now is in the days shall come shall all be forgotten, and how die both the wise man as the fool." Everybody in here has to experience this. Okay? I just buried a young man in Canton, 12-year-old, shot himself at the school. Two young girls and their brother killed just last week driving down the wrong side of the highway. Young girl just shot in the head in Cleveland from Youngstown. Folks is dying young and old. Or everybody has to experience this. Dave, Big Dave as we call him here, has shown us how to do it. Has shown us how to do it. Because he understood that there is appointed unto men and women and children once to die. Ain't God good in his mercy? Ain't God good in his mercy that we only have to die once? But that's a merciful God. That we only have to do this once. Imagine if you had to do this 5 times. See, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Death is a picture of God's great mercy. Anybody ever looked at it like that? We don't like to look at death as God's mercy because a lot of folks don't want to preach death. They want to run folks out of the church. Folks don't want to hear about death. They want to run from it. It happened to somebody else. Let me tell you something. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to you. Death will happen to all of us. The greatest and the least. I remember my first experience with death. Now, I've known folks that have died, but my first experience with serious death, and I've shared this with the church. I was a young man. I was probably 15 or 16. I had a summer job, and I had a friend that would take me to work. And I would walk from Alameda on the north side all the way to the projects, and she would take me to work. And one day I walked to her house and folks was mourning, folks was crying, and Della Fordham had died of a massive heart attack. And something in me died, something in them changed in me. Life was never the same. She was like my mother. After my mother and father had divorced, and she took me in as her own, and I experienced this thing. And it taught me a great lesson. For life events are designed to remind us to prepare for this great day. I remember when my wife called me and she said, Dave passed away this morning. Something in me just shook me. Because I had just talked to him the Monday prior to it. I talked to him for an hour and he talked about his life. He talked about how good God had been to him. He talked about when he ran the streets and played with guns, and he talked about the crazy side and the rowdy side, and then he talked about what God did in his life. And he said, then God blessed me with a wonderful helpmate and a family. And then I thought about this. I said, you know what? All these folks are going to come out today's funeral to eulogize him. But I tell you this once for certain. Dave knew God. He sat in Sunday school. He sat in Wednesday night. And he sat right next to me. Wouldn't say much. But if he didn't understand something, you know what he said? He said, Rev, call me Rev. Hey, could you say that again? Can you explain that again? Could you explain that again? And I would explain it again. Dave has invited you guys here to get you ready for this great day. This is the greatest day. Dying is the greatest event that will occur in your life. Now, Pastor, what are you talking about? Preacher, what are you talking about? Dying is the biggest deal you ever encounter on this side of the earth. Now, some of us in here play sports. And I watch some of it on TV and they kiss the trophy and it's the greatest day ever. And they're a first round draft choice and it's the greatest day of my life. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Dying is the greatest day in your life. Why wouldn't you prepare for it? Why do we live so unprepared? It's inevitable. You're going to face it. You got to deal with it. Some of you being reminded constantly that you're going to die. When you look in the mirror, you know something's happening. You look in the mirror, something's happening. Now, some of you little ones right there, I'm looking in the mirror, I'm strong, but most of us, y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay? You want to know? If you want to know something's happening to you, just go on the Planet Fitness. You don't got to get a membership. Just go in there and say you want to take a tour and hit some of the machines. You'll find out real quick. Just throw a couple plates on the bar and get up under it. See, some of you was all city. All Ohio and cheerleaders. Some of you remember doing cartwheels. Try one now. See, that's God's grace. He's reminding you that you need to be prepared for something big. See, many of us in here from Youngstown, we remember walking to Reeves Arena. We remember skating backwards. Couple skating and just clowning. We ain't walking nowhere. We ain't picking up no skates. Okay? We line dance for 2 minutes and we out of breath. Why? What's happening? God is gracious. God is merciful. Let me say this. Many of you put on your socks this morning. You didn't put them on like you was when you were 16. Stockings in. You put those stockings on. It's a work. All right. You out of breath. You drop your keys. And that ought to remind you. Listen, something happened here because I really don't want to pick them up. I watched Mary yesterday. She dropped something and it took her 30 seconds to pick it up. I was like, poor baby. Listen. Thank you for no water up here. I don't use it. But that water up is for a reason. Because we drying up. If we don't drink that water, our bodies are dehydrated, we'll get sick. We gotta keep hydrating our bodies. Why? Because that body is constantly trying to go back to being what it was created out of. Dust. Dust. The Ecclesiastes 3:20 all go onto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Now, sorry, I ain't turning into dust. The reason why you're not turning into dust, because, and I got the right crowd here. Everybody in here got a jar of Vaseline in their bathroom for their feet. Why? Because your feet is trying to remind you that you need to start preparing for this great day. Because your feet is turning to dust. They turning ashy. And when you pick up that Vaseline from now on, when you just remember, I need to get ready for that great day. Because I'm turning into dust. And you go to the store and there are whole shelves full of all kind of lotions and ointments and creams. All kind of stuff you can crack it up and dust it up. I'm dying up here. And you dying out there. See, it's appointed on the man wants to die. We have to die. We have to die. We don't have to go on a cruise. We don't have to go on a vacation. Some of us got to, we take better plans for our wedding, for birthday parties, and for cruises, and going to the casinos, and we do it. I'll be planning all this stuff. But we not planning on dying. Some of you ain't putting nothing away. And I'm not talking just about financially dying. Some of you broke, gonna die broke. Somebody gonna have to take up a you, me, fund or whatever you call that just to try to bury you. Ain't got no money, ain't made no plans on dying. And the FedEx truck coming to your house and they bring it, dropping all the Amazon stuff and you ain't making no plans to die. Lord have mercy. This is our priest today. He didn't leave. He enjoyed it. He would have told me if he didn't. Y'all said he didn't get mad at nobody. He never got mad at me. He never hollered at me neither. Listen, folks. Listen. How did Dave prepare for life? He needed people. See, we need people to prepare us for life, for the afterlife. Dave used you. God knew Dave needed people to pave his way to heaven. What I'm saying. For God so loved the world. Okay? Let me tell you something, folks. Folks that tell you they're Christians, tell you they've been born again, and don't love people. Be careful with that. Be careful with that. For God so loved the world. So if he's our God, we have to love people. Okay? He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God used Dave to show us how to die in the love of God. How to die in the mercy of God. How to die in the grace of God. And it's not a one-time thing. I hear preachers make this big mistake. And they'll tell you, well, he settled that a long time ago. Let me tell y'all something. Folks, if you was in here and you got born saved when you was 8 or 9 years old and you've been sinning ever since, you ain't settled nothing. Salvation ain't no life insurance policy where you don't have to pay no premiums or nothing. You just sign up and the church secretary give you a little certificate. You on your way to heaven. Let me tell you something, folks. That ain't how it works. It's an everyday process. Every day you have to serve him. Every day you have to worship him. Every day you have to love him. Let me put it like this. This is David in the Bible. Psalms 91 says this. I will praise thee, O Lord. How, David? With my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Did you not see them? It ought to be evident. Don't let nobody tell you they're a man of God, a woman of God. You don't see no evidence, no love, no grace, no mercy, no forgiveness, no thankfulness, no gratefulness. We got fake news. We got fake Christians. We got fake salvation. We got fake grace. We got fake mercy. We got fake love. Y'all all experienced some of it. You'll find out if it's fake when adversity comes and it don't work no more. Don't it just go away when you test it and you try and you're under adversity and you turn to that salvation that you call yourself having and it don't work. It don't work. Days work. Days work. Let me give you this. Young man, lawyer, doctor, hotshot, came to Jesus. He came to Jesus in Luke 10:25. I'm going to read this. I got to read some of this. They would have no other way. He said, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Great question. You all should be asking it. It ought to be the question of the day because we're talking about eternal life. I'm not talking about Hallmark cards. I'm talking about the real thing. Because you need eternal life. Don't see David again. You're not going to see him again unless you have answered the question, how do I receive eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Now watch this. And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and with all and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do it, thou shalt live. There's only two ways to die, folks. You either die in sin, or you die in Christ. Okay? Let me say that again. Two ways to die. You either die in sin or you die in Christ. Because every one of us gonna get in one of these one day. Okay? Ellie Black ain't running out of these. They ain't laying off at the casket factory. Okay? They getting perks and bonuses. They're not running out of caskets. Okay? And we all gonna have to climb into one. One day. You know what? We have to answer this question. David answered it. He didn't fear death. Not one bit. And all you that came over and all that you that came over and cared for him and took care of him, you never heard him complain. He never complained about dying. When I talked to him, he said, Reverend, it ain't how I planned it, but it is what it is. It is what it is. Okay? He had an appointment. He couldn't cancel that one. He probably canceled a couple. Couldn't get make it to Cleveland Clinic. I got to cancel. Couldn't make it. It's hard to get up there sometimes, but you can't cancel this one. And guess what? You got one. You got one. And will you be able to say like David? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is the victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What's the work of the Lord? To love people. Glory. To show God's grace and His mercy. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Day's labor was not in vain. Know how I know it wasn't in vain? Because you guys are here. He invited you here to this great day. To this great day. Now I know Claire put the what you call the program together, because I know she took one of my verses. I know she used it, because that's what she do. But let me read it to you. Because so I see you, there's some gems in there you might have missed just by just reading it. It says, the days of our years are 70. A score is 20, we know that. 60. Okay? And by reason of strength, they be 80. Yet is there strength in labor and sorrow, for it soon cut off and we fly away. I think we got someone in here, 94. Praise the Lord. I hope she prepared for this great day. Watch this now. Who knoweth the power of thy anger? What he's saying is, who knows when God may call you home? There's only one person that knew the day that he was going to die and how he was going to die, and it ain't, he's not in here. Okay? It was Jesus Christ, our Lord, saying he knew how he was going to die and when he was going to die. None of us do. We don't want to know. Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Now watch this. Teach us to number our days. Why? Why is that important? Because we think we got unlimited time. It's like AT&T. Let me tell y'all something. Nobody here got unlimited time. We all on the clock. 240,000 people die every day. Every day. You on the clock. So teach us to number our days. Why? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So we can get ready for this great and grand occasion. This great and grand occasion. Let me say this. And I'm a chaplain, okay? I'm a chaplain. But let me tell y'all something. Hospice, and we thank God for hospice, they can get you ready. They can get you ready to die. Okay? And they can tell you what's breathing in his eyes. And they can give you some morphine for the pain and for the drip. And then come in and put some ice chips on your lips because you're drying out. Okay? But let me tell you something, what hospice can't do. Hospice can't get you ready for eternal life. Hospice can't get you ready for eternal life. And it is criminal. It is criminal. I would be committing ministry malpractice if I failed to tell you about Jesus. If I failed to tell you, or if I told a family that knew good and well that they lost loved one, was unsaved, didn't care about the things of God, and told them they're in a better place now, I would be committing criminal malpractice as a pastor. Well, I don't like doing these. I got excited when they called me and said Dave had passed away, because they could call me. Some folks, I just don't want to do their funeral. I don't want to commit malpractice. I don't want to be negligent to my call. Well, this was an easy one. this was an easy one. Let me tell you something, folks. Death is a big deal. Okay? You sit here. You can't hardly move your hands. Arthritis in your toes. Can't hardly breathe. Right now you need a piece of candy because your diabetes is just acting up. You're sweating. You're hungry. You really, what's happening is you're dying. You hear in the church dying, hearing the word of God, and how are you going to leave here today? How are you going to leave here today? Are you going to start planning for this thing? This is a big deal. Some of you need some water. Oh, you got to go to the bathroom. Hey, we weren't created to go to the bathroom. See, some of us are full of stuff. Adam and Eve, when they were created, they didn't have to go to the bathroom. They didn't have to sleep. They had glorified bodies. Now, the sin just wrecked our body. And right now, sin is wrecking us. Canes and wheelchairs and folks can't even stand up. The preacher said, everybody stand up. Our folks are struggling to get up. Well, let me wrap this up. You might say, praise the Lord. Wrap it up. Well, let me tell y'all something. I usually wrap it up 5 times before I wrap it up, but I'm going to wrap it up. I'll be preaching to them kids out at the prison. They say, and I'm off the close. They say, well, you know, Reverend, about to close. That's one. I mean, they count to 5. But I'm not going to about to close you like that. But I'm going to say this. I drive by 2 cemeteries every day on my way to work. One of them, Ulysses Grant's mother, was buried in out in Deerfield. I'm like, oh, big deal. Let me tell you something. When you go home, some of you women got the shiny lips, got that lip balm, color lip balm. Now, you put that lip balm on and think about the fact that you're dry now. You don't want your lips to be dry. When you put that lip balm on, reminds you, you know what, that preacher said, my lip, I'm drying up. Yeah, your lips is drying up. That's why you put lip balm on. When you go in the bathroom, you see that big jar of Vaseline. Remember, I need to get on my knees to pray today. I need to get right with God. I need to be prepared because He can come any day. Okay? Next time you pass the Planet Fitness, you see them young people running out of there with their little spandex on. Think about what you would look like in that same outfit. That ought to remind you. That ought to remind you. Something happened in my body. Amen. Don't worry about Claire. Claire don't need y'all worrying about her. You know what she needs? The Bible says in James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. What she need is prayer. Yes. She don't need healing prayer, though. Okay? She needs the prayers of the godly. See, when you come home, and I'm about to close. Now when you come home, now I know all about it. See, I know all about her shipping pies, her making dressing. I know all about the little special sandwiches she makes for some of y'all for breakfast. I know all about her fried chicken. And her macaroni and cheese, and I'm not going to forget the lemon cakes and the chocolate cakes. And see, I know all about that. Okay? And I know y'all come home, and Auntie Claire, you got these potato pies in the freezer. And Auntie Claire, can you make me one of them breakfast sandwiches? Uh-huh. You got to call them all out. Yeah, I can't get over there and get some of it. I'm going, me and Dave going to FedEx, and we got to buy some drives and send some pies, send some sweet potato pies and some dressing this Thanksgiving, and she just cooking and cooking and cooking. But next time you come home, you ask Claire, say, Claire, see, we worried about Claire. Let me tell y'all something. In Claire's pockets, she got a pocket full of tickets. Okay? She got a pocket full of tickets. She got one in there, though. Hers. She already ready. She got a ticket in there already. And her ticket is different from everybody else's ticket, probably. Because her ticket is already stamped. And she already told Day Day, don't worry, I'm right behind you, baby. I'm right behind you. And God's economy ain't but a few minutes behind Dave. See, everybody got to do this. See? But Dave and Claire, they did a lot of things together. And they had tickets. Tickets. Not just regular tickets. Red tickets, like that woman's shirt there. Red tickets. Covered in the blood of Christ. Covered in the blood. He got to have a ticket. You can't get to heaven without a ticket. Get to heaven without a ticket. You can't go to the Super Bowl without a ticket. You can't go to heaven without a ticket. Claire got a ticket. So don't y'all worry about Claire. Pray for her. She suffered a great loss. But you know, she got something for y'all. Better than sweet potato pies. Better than dressing. Okay? Better than chicken. Better than mac and cheese. Listen, next time you come to Claire's house, say, Claire, can you fix me a slice of God's grace? Fix me a slice of God's grace. And then the next little nephew or grandson come up and say, you know, can you give me a cup of God's mercy? How about just a cup of God's mercy? Can you send me a cup of God's mercy? She got plenty of that. She got plenty of that. How about a bowl of God's forgiveness? How about a bowl of God's forgiveness? How about a little pan of God's salvation? Tell me about this Jesus. Tell me about this Jesus who died for our sins and rose from the dead and is now sitting at the right hand of God making intercessions for us. Tell me about how by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man shall boast. Tell me about this Jesus who you boast about, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but through me. How can I know more about him? And then send me a cup of love. Oh, not Charlie's cup. A cup of love. A cup of our Lord and Savior's love, because he was a loving God. And he loved Dave. And he stood up and applauded for Dave. And he said, Dave, here's your crown for a job well done. For a job well done. Welcome home. My good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over few things. Your wife's going to be all right. Your wife's going to be all right. They say, I'm worried about my wife. I think about my wife. I want to be with my wife. Let me tell y'all something. Now I'm about to close. I'm getting hot down. I need some water. I'm drying up here. Let me tell you something. Learn this verse. Dave knew it. Claire knew it. You need to know it. Claire's talking about all these young boys, their young grandsons, young kids of mine, all my family. They just stepped up. And they did everything for me. They just came and they took care of me. And I'm looking at her. I'm like, and I know she ain't thinking about this verse right now, but I know she know it. I know when I say it, it's all gonna come in. Because see, some of y'all don't even know why y'all was doing what y'all was doing, because God has appointed y'all to do what y'all was doing. It's hard to clean a grown man. Some of y'all, I don't even know how I do this. And some of you probably said, I could never do it before you did it. And then you caught yourself doing it, and you don't even know why you was doing it. I love this man, because he loved my mama, and he loved my grandmama, and he loved my auntie, whatever she was to y'all. And y'all didn't have a problem doing it. You know why y'all did it? Let me tell you why you did it. Psalm 37:25. Here's why y'all did it. Because God has made a promise to Claire and to all of us who live righteously. God has promised to take care of us. He said his word. I have been young. David said, I've been young. And he said, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You don't worry about Claire. You pray for her. God has promised all that live godly in Christ that he's going to take care of us. He gonna take care of his peoples. And what we need to do is find out from someone. I need to be God's people. Because whatever Uncle Dave had or whatever Big Dave had, whatever Dad had, I need. And let me tell you something, folks. What he did for Dave. What he did for Dave. He's still doing. He is still doing. He is still in the saving business. He's still in the saving business. He's still in the saving business. Precious Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for Big Dave, Uncle Dave, Brother Dave, Grandson Dave, Cousin Dave, Church Member Dave, Husband Dave, Co-worker Dave, Good Neighbor Dave. We thank you, Father God, for his life. We thank you, Father God, for his heart. We thank you, Father God, for his example. We thank you, Father God, for saving him. Father, we thank you for his family, his wife and his sisters. We thank you for all those that love him. Father God, we just pray right now for those who know right now, I'm sitting in this seat, when I hear that preacher, I need to be prepared. I need to start doing more to get ready for this day. I don't want to die lost. I don't want to die in sin. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to die like a man. I want to die like a man of God or a woman of God. And I want a preacher to preach in my sermon that I was prepared, that I was ready, that I knew I was going to die, and I got myself together. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your faith, your grace, your mercy, and your love. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for all these ministers and musicians. We thank you for all the testimonies that were spoken. We thank you for just it being a wonderful day. Father God, we ask that you just accept our pleas and accept our prayers. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.